I'm Macy Drew. YouthQ is offering an amazing opportunity for youth choir directors this fall. I'd like to tell you about it. October 3rd through 12th of this year, Randy Edwards is taking a group of YouthQ directors to Ireland to sing in cathedrals all across the Emerald Isle. This adventure, which begins and ends in Dublin, will help directors and other church musicians get in touch with their deeper vocations as singers, artists, conductors, and ministers. It's not like a typical sightseeing tour, although believe me, there will be plenty of sights to see. Randy and the directors will open up new worlds of awareness for themselves and each other as they sing in the sacred spaces which believers have shared for hundreds, and in some cases thousands, of years. We'd love to have you join us for YouthQ's Journey Abroad this October. Information and details can be found in the monthly YouthQ newsletter or by going online at youthq.org.
From YouthQ, I'm Randy Edwards. This is QCast. Holly Reynolds Lee was still in college when she founded and began directing Voices in Praise, a community youth choir in Dunkirk, Maryland, 45 minutes southeast of Washington, D.C. Holly's story is one of great vision, courage, and resilience as she has built and continues to develop this dynamic ministry of choral music with several generations of high school students. It's Tuesday, March 13th, 2020. This is episode 14 of QCast. Happy Tuesday, everyone. We have moved our QCast studios on the road to Washington, D.C. today, and we are set up right in the nation's capital, just a little bit, not very far from where all the stuff is happening nationally here. You'll hear a little background noise from time to time, but we're going to have a wonderful interview this morning with Holly Reynolds Lee. Holly has been involved in the YouthQ program for a number of years, and she is one of our really go-getter kind of directors who is not only a wonderful musician, but she's an entrepreneur too. And she does amazing work with a group called the Voices in Praise, or VIP. Now, Holly is located southeast of Washington, D.C., about 45 minutes, in the community of Dunkirk. Holly, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
So talk to us a little bit about your early years. Let's build up a little bit as to the person that you are, the person that you have become in leading students chorally. Talk to us about your early childhood experiences with music.
Well, like so many adults who work in church music, my earliest experiences were in our church children's choir. Mm-hmm. I remember being a little girl and just wanting to be old enough to join, mm-hmm. and being so excited when I finally could, and going to rehearsal and singing in worship. And it was a great experience. You know, I was blessed to have a fantastic elementary music teacher who really, really fostered a love of singing. So I had this really great foundation moving into middle school. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of where life for many kids gets a little turbulent. And it was no different for me. You know, middle school hits, and in our school, you choose between chorus and band. Mm-hmm. So there's automatically this little shift that's happening. And our church did not really have a youth choir. Mm-hmm. It had three or four young women that they would kind of pull together, but three or four occasional things does not a choir make. Mm-hmm. You know, this is just a small little group. It's not really functioning as a choir. Mm-hmm. And as a kid, if we were being really kind, you would use adjectives like spirited, passionate, strong-willed, goal-oriented to describe me. Mm-hmm. I was the kind of kid who came with a label. You know those kids that come with a warning label?
Right.
That the teachers are saying, you know, this one's coming up.
Or maybe they don't have a warning label, but they should,
they
right?
Should. And I was the kind of kid that if you had a teacher who could harness that, they were mm-hmm. going to get great results. Mm-hmm. But I was a handful. Mm. And I remember that one of the experiences that I can look back now and say really changed my life. I was in that little trio or quartet in the sanctuary of our church.
How old?
I was probably 11 or 12.
Okay.
And I'm sure I did something. I did something to pluck the nerve of this director. I'm sure of it. And she responded in anger, but I think she didn't choose her words carefully because she fired off and she said, "And you can't sing."
Oh, no. Yes.
And I don't fault her. I think it was just a, it was just what flew out and, but it hit its mark.
Yeah.
And I remember that I stood up and just walked out.
Yeah.
And I remember that it really, it stung in a way that few things sting. And I sat outside and I waited for my mother to come. And, you know, it was clear I had been crying. And my mother said, "You know, what's happened? What's wrong?" And I went on teenage lockdown mode. I wasn't going to tell. I was embarrassed and humiliated and didn't want my mother to get involved.
Sure.
So I said, "I'm never singing here again." And my mother sort of paused and thought, What's happening right now?" But I was resolute and stubborn, and I didn't go back. But when you've grown up singing, and all of a sudden you stop, there's a hole. And I think my parents knew that, and they were watching this sort of happen and not being really certain. So when my best friend suggested that we go sing with her grandmother in that church's choir, I was excited. The director was my middle school chorus teacher, who was this young, vibrant, wonderful teacher who said, "Well, come on if you want to sing." So I went to my parents and said, "I want to go sing in the sanctuary choir at this other Methodist church." And my parents were completely taken aback by this request. And you could tell they didn't quite know what to do with it.
Right.
They didn't feel great about having their child go to another church. At the same time, they're thinking, can you say no to a kid who wants to sing in a church youth choir or a church choir?
Yeah.
So they let me go. And I was welcomed into that little sanctuary choir. I mean, it had less than 20 people.
Right.
We were the only two youngsters. But in that space, I was so welcomed and loved and cherished. And I can still hear in my head the basses cracking jokes in the back row and the tenors goofing off and the sopranos trying to get us all under control. You got to feel what choirs should feel like.
What were the altos doing, by the way?
Well, we were, of course, on task.
Oh, I see.
We're altos, aren't we?
Right.
But the director, Sandy Melson Grice, cut me no slack. We sang every Sunday. I was going to sing my part. I was going to do my job. And she just poured into me in this wonderful way. And as a, you don't realize it at the time, but you're learning what it looks like to prep music, to sing every week, how you negotiate that with singers and all the people involved.
Right.
And it just became this really great space. So my family still had our home church, and I was not exempt from participation. So my parents said, "You may do this, but you are not exempt from worship with our family." So I pulled double duty for most of my middle and high school life.
Wow.
I went to the service where I sang, and then I went to service with my parents.
So that space that you found, that new space, was really a holy space for you.
It absolutely was.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was the first time that I can remember walking into another church that wasn't mine. You know, I mean, so often kids grow up in a church, and they're just there for everything. It's the space where they go to choir and youth group, and that's all great. But for me, I learned what it felt like to be welcomed into somebody else's church. And that was kind of a novel thing at that time.
Now it's something you do every day with your own group, isn't it?
Absolutely. I would say that that is one of the pillars of Voices in Praise and how we do that and what that feels like. Because it was just a defining time in my life, and that choir really taught me what it feels like to be part of a choir family.
Isn't it amazing, Holly, that so much of what we do comes out of our deficiency as a teenager? It's almost like we try to be sure that the students in our care will have the benefits that we did not have, that we needed, and you found in your second location of making music.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, I'm Macy Drew. I'd like to tell you about a very exciting program going on this coming Labor Day in Washington, D.C. It's called Labor Day at the Cathedral, and it's a major choral event for adult and collegiate singers. The dates are September 4th through 6th, 2020. The 3 days of music making will feature the choral works of American composer Claude Bass, all accompanied by a full orchestra of professional musicians. The grand concert will be held at Washington's National Cathedral, an extraordinary venue to sing in. Complete information and even online registration for Labor Day at the Cathedral can be found in the monthly YouthQ newsletter or online at youthq.org. We hope you'll join us singing in our nation's capital this Labor Day. You can bring your whole choir, come with a small group of friends, or just bring yourself to join the reunion, the fun, and the wonderful music. We'd love to have you.
Well, let's fast forward a little bit to all the way to 1998, and this is when you founded the Voices in Praise.
Yes.
You had just come back from studying abroad in England.
Mm-hmm.
And so what was your motivating factor or factors that caused you to put this group on the map and get going with it?
I was in church that Easter, that spring before, and I was watching the music team, and they had a sanctuary choir with youth plugged in.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking, gosh, they look uncomfortable. I think there may have been choreography. There may have been some ribbon twirling happening, mm-hmm. but I was watching this whole thing and sort of thinking, that is not what I would want to do mm-hmm. if I were in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought nothing of it. And I was walking out of the church into the parking lot when a couple of the teenagers caught up to me and they said, Hey, it's great to see you. Hey, would you ever think about doing youth choir here? And I looked at them and I said, you guys are so sweet. No, absolutely not. And, you know, and they said all sorts of nice things about mm-hmm. my experience and how great it would be to have me there. And I just said, girls, you're really nice, but no, I'm in college and this is just not what I'm going to do. But they had planted an idea.
Wow.
They had planted it and I couldn't shake it.
Yeah.
And I wanted to shake it.
Mm-hmm.
This was not, you know, when you are in college, you are doing other things. This starting a youth choir is really not on the radar screen.
Not on your list, yeah.
No, this is not on my to-do list. But I couldn't, it's like I couldn't let it go. It kept popping back up in all of these interesting ways. And I think, like a lot of college kids, you sort of fall away from your faith when you start college. You're maybe not going to church as much. You're away from youth group. You know, these different things are happening. But I remember returning to God in that time and praying about it and thinking, I don't know what you want me to do, mm-hmm. but I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
And it was this call on my life that I couldn't refuse. And I felt completely uncertain. And I said to God, okay, if you want me to do this, I'm going to do this, but you have to be in charge because I don't know what I'm doing. And I think that might have been the best prayer that I ever mm-hmm. could have prayed mm-hmm. because it put the leadership and the direction in the hands of God, which is exactly where it should have been all along
mm-hmm.
for any choir.
Exactly.
You know, if that's not who's running your group, you're going to have problems. And even now, there are times I pray, I don't know what I'm doing. You have to be in charge. And God, I think, sort of says, I'm always in charge. Have you forgotten?
Yeah.
It's just this remembrance of that early prayer. So we were lucky that we had a new pastor that summer. Doug Tizan is just a wonderful minister. And I knocked on his door and I said, hi, I know you're new. I'd like to start a youth choir. And he said, that sounds great. Come on in and let's talk about that.
Wow.
And he gave me the green light.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had seven singers that first rehearsal, seven girls.
Mm-hmm.
And you hit fast forward and we run with 50 on the roster, and it's a whole different ball game. But what an incredible journey it has been.
Well, talk to us about Voices of Praise now. I mean, it's been a real success story that we've been following at Youth Q for a number of years. But frankly, we were surprised to discover that it really has been going on for 21 years. I know time has passed very fast, but I was thinking Voice and Praise had been around for maybe 10 years or so. But gosh, 21, 22 years. What is your mission? What are you there for? How do you seek to minister to the students in your care?
Well, Voices in Praise exists for the glory of God and in service to other people.
Okay.
You know, that is our goal. That is what is first and foremost. And we believe that through youth choir, we help youth develop, that we help them grow up, and we instill in them all sorts of incredible values that are useful in all sorts of areas of life. Mm-hmm. So I think what's interesting about Voices in Praise is that we really, our structure is a little bit different, and the way that we operate is a little bit different than normal. Mm-hmm. I think we really go out of our way to welcome and encourage and really love kids. Mm-hmm. Like that's priority number one. Because when they feel that way, then you can make great music.
Right.
That's first. But sometimes in youth choirs and churches, a lot of it runs on relationship. Mm-hmm. And we don't necessarily define what we need or what the expectation is. Voices in Praise has a lot of clearly defined and well thought out expectations for what we need. What we need everybody to do, what we need the ensemble to do. And we find that communicating that out to parents and kids helps us to get where we want to go a little bit faster. You know, we're clear from the get-go, and I think that helps.
I think it helps a lot, especially with community choirs today as we're seeing them spring up across the country. Those clear goals, those clear objectives are so very important. One of the things we've discovered at Youth Q over the years, it's not, I guess, terribly profound, but at the same time, we seldom think about it, and that is teenagers are just as allergic to wasting time as their parents are. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to come together and waste a bunch of time. Their time is as valuable as anybody else's, and they want to feel like that their time is a good investment and that it's paying off. And so these objectives that you put forth no doubt help your students to get to those goals even before they walk in the door. They know what is expected. And then with your leadership, excuse me, you can torque all of that up as well.
Do you have older high school students or young university singers you would like to encourage to take it to the next level of their choral singing? If so, we'd love for you to send your top students to be a part of the 2020 National Honor Choir this summer. The dates are July 22nd through July 29th, 2020. The National Honor Choir will meet in Philadelphia for the first 3 days and will then travel together to New York City, where the choir will be performing at St. Patrick's Cathedral, St. Paul's Chapel, and many others, and the final concert will be held at the Cathedral of St. John the Divine. My name is Macy Drew, and I have been a part of Youth Q's National Honor Choir in years past. I can tell you that your students will not be disappointed in this experience. In fact, it's one of the most awesome things they will have the opportunity to do in their high school and college years. Information about the National Honor Choir can be found in the monthly issues of Youth Q or by calling and emailing Randy Edwards and Tina McCartney. Email or call today and begin the process of getting your finest singers accepted and registered for this amazing week in the Big Apple.
So talk to me just a little bit about why community choir as opposed to church youth choir. What's, in your experience, what's the difference and how does that work?
There are some keen differences between church choir and community choir. I think at the outset, you might think, well, they do a lot of the same things, right? We sing in worship every month. We sing in our community at supporting different events and festivals and important things going on around us. We go on tour. So why community choir versus church choir? And I think that really depends on a ton of factors, including the community where you live, mm-hmm. the church where you are rooted, mm-hmm. and kind of what the kids are doing around you and what other churches look like around you.
Right.
So for us, we live in a suburban area with a lot of kids, but no one church seems to have enough bodies to really fuel a youth choir.
Not a critical mass there.
A critical mass, yes. So when we started out, we were a church choir. We were a program of the church. And like so many church choir directors, you know, we say, oh, bring your friends, anybody's welcome. And that's true. That's absolutely true. And for us, we found that we were growing at such a pace that we were having more students come in from outside right. than from within our own church walls. And that's awesome. Like, to me, that is such a testament of the power of youth choir uh-huh. ministry. When kids will find you, they will seek you out. But you really have to have a church that's on board with that uh-huh. as an outreach ministry.
Right.
And that they see it as a blessing. Uh-huh. And not every church does, unfortunately. And I think for you and me, we're sort of like, how could they not see it?
Right.
But sometimes they don't.
Right.
So you start to envision some different ways of operating. And I think the difference with community choir is we structure it in such a way that we make no assumptions. Meaning, when you sign your kid up to play baseball, right? You sign them up and you might know when practices are, when games are, but you understand that you're putting your kid in an activity. Mm-hmm. And we sort of have that mindset when it comes to youth choir. I think what it comes down to is the difference between, hey, we're a church choir and everybody's welcome, and hey, we're a community choir and everything we have done is designed to welcome. It's the difference between saying, hey, come on over to my house, and saying, hey, let's build a house together that does everything that we need.
Yeah.
It's a nuanced difference. But it makes a world of difference if you think about accessibility.
Right.
And how people get to your choir and what that looks like. Meaning, for kids to come through the door, it has to do a lot of things to get them through that door and to feel comfortable and safe. And so I think community choir can set itself up in a way to do that, that churches really can't. Because when you are a community choir, children who go to church often feel comfortable joining you. But if your family is deeply rooted in a Baptist church and the Methodist church has this growing choir, you might feel hesitant mm-hmm. about leaving your congregation. You might feel worried about leaving your faith or your family. Right. There's so much tied up in our faith.
There's so much baggage there.
There is that to say, I'm going to go sing in that church's choir can often feel like
betrayal.
A betrayal of your home church.
Right.
And we don't see it that way, mm-hmm. but I think you can see that, right. you know, if your child came to you and said, hey, Dad, I want to go sing in that church's choir, and you would think, mm-hmm. son, we've gone here our whole lives. Mm-hmm. You can't.
Right.
That you there's automatically this sort of, I don't know, it's baggage, and mm-hmm. it changes the way people think about it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we know that music crosses denominations mm-hmm. in this amazing way. You know, in Voices in Praise, we have students from 14 different churches, mm-hmm. and many denominations wrapped up in that 14. And then between 30 and 35% of our kids don't have a church mm-hmm. home. They don't claim to belong to any church. So the only time those kids are coming to church is with us.
Right.
So you have this really interesting ministry, this really wonderful ecumenical program. And community choir lets you stand on ecumenical ground. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really glorifying to God. Mm-hmm. I think when we get to heaven, he is not going to check to see what denomination you are or were. Mm-hmm. You do not have to be a card-carrying member mm-hmm. of any church to be welcomed through the gates of heaven. Mm-hmm. So why wouldn't we structure youth choir like that? Mm-hmm. I think there's an incredible gift there for kids and for families and for congregations. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so much division in our world, but there's not division in a youth choir if it's done in the right way.
What a picture, what a metaphor this is creating for our students to realize that, you know, there may be distinctives. There are distinctives. Mm-hmm. There are differences. Some of us drive blue cars, some of us drive red cars, some of us, you know, drive different makes and models, and some of us have colors that are different from favorite colors that are different from other people. But that doesn't need to keep us from worshiping together. Mm-hmm. Wow, this is a wonderful, wonderful story. I hope that we can follow up on your VIP, Voices in Praise, very often and see how things are going and how it's developing. As we end our time today, Holly, what would you say is about the best thing about doing the work that you do with Voices in Praise?
I think the best thing is having a space where every single kid can come, no matter what your denomination is, no matter where you live, what your class, your ethnicity, none of it matters. Kids today bear more than I think any generation ever has. Music is not just a gift. It's a way that we soothe our souls. It's a way that we find out who we are, that we find out about God, that we find our way in the world. And to give kids a place where they can come, that's the best thing. Because it's hard to find. You know, we live in a world that is based on your test scores, your audition results, on so many other factors. And here is this program with high quality music, with wonderful experiences, and all you have to do is show up. And I think that is such a gift, and it is so important. There are many places to make great music at school, and I'm grateful for all of them. But to have a place that says to kids, hey, come on, I think that's the gift. Mm-hmm. I think that's the best part. And knowing that we have a structure that can do it, a team of volunteers that
are ready,
that get it, that make the wheels turn, they are phenomenal. But everybody's rowing in the same direction with the goal of saying, our doors are open and our arms are open. And that's not just a side note, it's the main event, mm-hmm. you know? And I think when you operate that way, you are working as God wants you to work. Mm-hmm. You are mirroring the gospel message and you're living it out. And that's what we do.
Mm-hmm. Holly Reynolds Lee, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
QCast is produced by YouthQ, creating soundtracks for life. Executive producer is Randy Edwards, produced by Robert Sterling. Technical director is David Fong. Sound engineer is Ruben Garcia at Texas Public Radio. Special thanks to Tina McCartney, Dr. Daniel Zamora, and Edie Dutton. I'm Macy Drew. Thanks for joining us.
In the next episode of QCast, a retired Methodist minister tells of his introduction and early involvement in YouthQ, something that did not happen until he was retired and in his 60s. Dan Jean's story of how he became a volunteer, a technical assistant, and eventually a donor to the YouthQ ministry is one that will educate, inspire, and motivate all of us to do more and be more in our ministry with students. Please join us next time on QCast.